I've named it a divine tapestry. Who know what tapestry is? Anybody? What is tapestry, Sharon? Yes. So you get these, you'll see these massive tapestries where when you look at the back of it, you're just seeing a lot of loose threads, and it doesn't make sense. But when you actually then, or when it's revealed, you see, wow, this is a piece of art that you are looking at, and somebody had to have the picture, the overarching picture, to see that these little ones that I'm doing, these little, once again, my English, stitches. These little stitches will eventually produce this masterpiece. And I want to hold to you tonight that our God is a divine, He has a divine tapestry at work all the time. But the cross is the culmination of a divine tapestry. Because when we look at the cross, just keep it on that first one. I'm just going to goy now. So when we look at the cross, can we say that the cross is the symbol for Christianity, right? That sort of, we can generally say when you see a cross there, we've got the image of Christianity. The strange thing about that is the cross is a torturing device that the Romans used 2,100, 2,200 years ago to show people that you don't mess with us. Because it was a very slow, it was a method by which they would really let somebody suffer and die a very excruciating death to let the rest of the people know this is what happens when you don't come into alignment with the Romans. So it's a torturing device that tells people who the real boss is. So how did a cross become our symbol of hope? Right? There, it's a symbol of fear. It's a symbol of oppression. It's a symbol of, if I don't do what the Roman says, that will happen to me. Humiliation because you are naked and you hang there for 3 days. And it's a very unpleasant death. How did that become our hope? Anybody? Stephen, what do you think? How did that become our hope? Yeah. So Stephen said it's about what happened afterwards. But I want to say, I don't agree with you, but I also want to say it is not just what happened afterwards. It is what happened prior to the cross. It's what happened on the cross as well. Samantha? We are the ones that should have hung there. But why can't we hang there? Why weren't we able to pay our own? Why should we have hung there? Our sin. Okay. Cool. What about our sin? So, the cross. When John saw Jesus for the first time, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The place where that, when he said those words, the people who were around him would have known exactly what he meant. He was speaking about the lamb that the high priest would slaughter once a year for the sins of the people. And that is how Jesus was identified by the prophet. But essentially, the cross is a picture of reckoning, right? Something happened on the cross, and once that finished, that whole event finished, nothing was the same again. It's as though everything culminated to this one moment on the cross, and after that, because that's not the last time people were crucified. It continued to happen. Yet, that specific one changed everything for the rest of us. So it seems there's something special about the person who was on that cross. Because it happened with no other crucifixion, right? There's all other crucifixion, then there's Jesus' crucifixion, which changed everything. So what was it about Jesus that is different to all other people? He was without sin. How is that possible that Jesus could be without sin? Is he the Son of God? He was conceived not through man, but from the Father. He was not conceived like us. So, Jesus, in his very nature, is different to us. Even though he is a man, he's also God. So, the reason why that's important is, and the reason why Samantha said we should have been on the cross is, we can't, our sin caused a break in our relationship with God, right? So, from Adam, all sin was imputed to us. And we can't do anything of it because we are born in sin. So if we bring an offering to God, it is marred, it is stained by our sin itself. So God is holy. He requires the sacrifice to be holy as well. And yet, if we now bring my brokenness, it doesn't fulfill God's requirement. So we needed somebody to resolve our broken relationship. So that's where our atonement is required. Somebody had to do this for us. We couldn't do it. I've already just made but essentially our sin, how we were born, made it impossible for us to deal with our own sin. So somebody else had to pay the ransom for us. Man could not do it, but man had to do it because man is the first, is the people who sinned, right? It's not like otherwise the animals would have sufficed. If the animal sufficed, then we could just continue to slaughter animals. But the animal never sufficed because the animal didn't sin. Man sinned, so we needed a man to die in our place. But we can't do it, so God sent His Son. His Son, fully God, also fully man. Why is that important? Well, fully man requires, or because He's fully man, He could die for us. He could be the second Adam, standing in our stead, showing us how it looks to live a life in obedience to God. Complete obedience. Because Adam also had the law. He had, don't eat of the tree and live. Eat of tree dry. He did not do that. So sin came in and Jesus showed us to live a life in complete obedience to everything God said. He gave up. He didn't give up His divinity. Because if He gave up His divinity, He would not be God. But Jesus was fully God and fully man. That's the only way we get atonement for ourselves on that cross. Because the weight of our sin, no man could carry. Like all mankind sin. You need an infinite God to be able to carry an infinite amount of sin. Right? So God had to, the person who dies for us must be a man, but he also must be able to carry the weight of sin. But he must also be pure. And Jesus is the person who was born for us, so that we could have our atonement met. Our mediator had to be a man, but our mediator also had to be God. Because our condition is terminal. And the law demands that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Somebody had to die. That is God's word. You can't get past that. And for God, like, we might say, but yes, Pietri, I didn't do anything. That's Adam's story. Like, how am I guilty? The problem is we are born in sin. Like, what Adam did changed his nature. And we are all of his seed. Like, it is imputed to us. Unfortunately, like, in the same way we look sort of like our parents, that stuff, that brokenness was imputed to us. And God says, He will by no means clear the guilty. So for God to be just, He has to deal with sin. Somebody has to die for our sin. Somebody has to. But it unfortunately needs to be a man, and it needs to be a perfect man, or God man, to be able to carry this. So, why was the cross the place where this had to happen? Surely, there's another altar. Why did it have to be the cross? Because when we look at where the lamb was slaughtered, it wasn't really this torturous as Jesus was. But what the cross shows us is what sin does to you and me. How Jesus was marred and beaten and just like his physical body. It's a reflection of sin. What sin does to us. The brokenness that it brings into our life. The shame. Like Jesus was hanging there naked and ashamed. Like the cross was usually for the lowest of the low. No Roman citizen could be hung on a cross. It's for those who are subjugates. But the cross symbolized divine rejection and public shame. It wasn't just about death. It's about being cut off from the Father, because he who hangs on a tree becomes a curse, so that he could bear the full penalty for us, that in his infinite godness, his divinity could carry the weight of the sin, and in his humanity, have the experience that we had. Like literally, Jesus was fully human in the fact that he felt every blow on his back. Every piercing. He felt crucifixion as we would have felt it. But he was able to carry the burden of the guilt because he was God. He was an infinite God. And then, just to see the divine tapestry at work, why a cross? When the Israelites were in Egypt, on their way to the promised land, they moaned about something. I don't know what the specific reference is, but sin came in and God let serpents out amongst them. And they got bit by these serpents because of their sin. And the way they got saved is by Aaron putting a snake on a cross, and they had to look at the snake to be healed. So that happened 1,400 years before Jesus. Then we see the sacrificial system, where all blood sacrifices pointed to the final Lamb of God. The manner of his death was put in a psalm. Psalm 22 verse 16 says, "They have pierced my hands and my feet." So 1,000 years before Jesus' hands and feet were pierced, David was writing about this. That method of torture never existed at that time. And then the I am statement you will never hear of Jesus, where he says, "I am a worm." In Psalm 22 verse 6, He says, I'm a worm and not a man. That worm is translated Tola Shani. Now, Tola Shani is a little worm that they used to crush to dye the garments of the tabernacle and the priestly robes red. So they would take this little grub and crush it to pieces, put it in water and dye the cloaks of the priests and the tabernacle red. It's like you can't, it's, you can't see lich mark. I don't know. It's a dye that is very, that sticks to the, right. But it's not just that. This little grub, little worm, when it's time to lay eggs, this little grub would go and attach itself to a tree. Not willingly, of course, it's a worm. But it goes there and it missed that segue. Anyway, so it attached itself to a tree. And then, whilst it's there, it forms like a red hard shell. It's like a size of a pea, this little grub. So there's this red hard shell. And whilst in that shell, she lays eggs. And in those time where she lays the eggs hatch and they start feeding on the grub itself. Now, that happens in 3 days. They then get covered by this red dye that stains them forever. And after 3 days, this shell of the Tola Shani is broken and they come out and their mother or this has died for them. And there's a red stain on a tree where this Tola Shani, this red juice stains the tree. God is using imagery of Jesus' death. He's at work the whole time and showing us that he is integrally intertwined in all of these things. Like a psalm, there's so many psalms, so many Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfills on the cross to show us God is busy. Damien, he's at work. He's not forgetting anything. There's not a thing that slips our God's mind because he's at work. But what happened on the cross? We now looked at why Jesus is the person who died, and then we looked at why the cross was the place where he had to die. But what happened on the cross? So on the cross, Jesus made 7 statements. And the first one is, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. On the cross, his hands and feet pierced, our high priest is interceding for us. Fully God. Who else can intercede for us whilst dying for us? They don't know what they're doing. Mocking him. Saying, sure, you trust God. Why don't he get you off it? And then he intercedes for us on our behalf. Yes, you can gooi there. I'm just... Second statement. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Once again, fully God. Who can offer eternal salvation but God? God is just showing us he is fully, Jesus is showing us he is fully God and fully man, but he is conscious at all times of what the will of the Father is at that time. Giving salvation and eternal hope. Third one, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. He's speaking to John there. he's able to sympathize with the repercussions that's going to happen when he dies and leaves. He says, here's your son. Here's your mother now. He's fully human there, being concerned about his mother and what's going to happen to her because she's a widow. And then as Nikki mentioned, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus in his humanity experiences the complete abandonment and the judicial wrath of God as he bore the full alienation caused by sin. It's not a cry of disbelief. Remember, 2 days ago he said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I and the Father am one. But it's what sin does. It disorientates us. We are separate from God. That is what Jesus is experiencing for the first time. It's disorientating. Abandonment, isolation, rejection, stranded alone on a cross. Hanging there because of our sin. Being fully righteous, yet being abandoned. And then in that midst of that moment, in that like super intense moment, Jesus once again, and God, the divine tapestry, I think that's the way to say it, fulfills scripture. And he says, I thirst. Because in Psalm 69, verse 21, the Psalter said, they gave me vinegar for my thirst. There in the most intense moments, our most forsaken moments, I can say to you, you can trust your Father. He is completely in control. And then lastly, after that, he said, it is finished. The debt of sin was paid. Wrath was satisfied. Jesus fulfilled the requirement God had. Our ransom was paid. And then lastly, victory already happened on the cross. Don't let your current situation, because Jesus was still on the cross when he said this last one. But he went from, my God, why have you forsaken me? Suddenly God is far away. Because he showed us the Father, right? He spoke of the Father, and here's the first time we see him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, where are you? And then lastly, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Relationship was restored because the price was fully paid. There on the cross, victory was had because the relationship was restored. Father and Son back. Justice kissed mercy, and love was made visible on a cross. Love was poured out on a cross. That's where our Savior hung, because we couldn't, because he was the only one, the God-man, able to carry that burden and be a human. And God, showing us through history, what will happen, and Jesus being in full obedience at all times, in his humanity, but also fully divine, being fully God, so that he can carry the weight of infinite sin. But that's what we reflect on when we take communion. when we look back and stand in awe of how He did it, of why He did it, of how we are now bought free because of the mighty work of the Trinity. Karin, can you just come up and play, please? Yuri, can you and your help share the bread and the juice? I just want to read for us Matthew 26, verse 29. So the evening before, or before Jesus was going to the cross, he said he longed for this moment to have this final communion with his friends. He said, because I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, because you do the will of my Father. And they were sitting around the table, and while they were eating, Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So Lord, as we just reflect on your divine tapestry, just a small snippet of what we can see, not even all of what we can see, but just in that moment culminating on the cross, we are confronted by all of your life, Jesus. Because it says your whole life was given as ransom. Not just one act, not just one moment, but all of Jesus' life. And we stand in awe, Jesus, that you willingly got on that tree, like Tola Shani, being crushed for us, so that your crimson blood can flow all over us, so that our salvation is not based on rules and regulations, but based on your complete work on the cross, Lord. Does everybody have a sign? Say again. The elements. Does everybody have the elements? I'm without English today. Anyway, so we have all elemented. Right. I'm just going to pray for us, and then we can take the, I think part of it is that we should take, Scripture said we should take it rightfully in the way that, have you done business with God? Right, this is, we're not doing, this is not an exercise. Peter is not running 10 kilometers here. We're not watching a movie, we're not singing lyrics. We're doing this because of remembrance of what He has done. So just do business with God. And I'm going to pray for us for His body and for the blood. And but yeah. Thank you, Daddy, for what you did. None of us are able to save ourselves. None of us are able to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and fix our sin, fix our condition, fix our change and throw them from ourselves, Lord. We need you. Thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken for us. That you took my wounds. You took my lashings. Thank you, Jesus, that I now can take this element, break it, and eat it because of your body that was broken for me. And then, Lord, like Tola Shani, your blood flowed. Because life is in the blood. It is our righteousness now. Pure. Untainted. Free from any disease. The blood of the new covenant has been poured out for the forgiveness for our sins, so that the curse might be broken, that we might have a relationship with you, and that we can hear your voice, and that we can respond in faith to what you say to us. That our dad knows us, that our Jesus is close at hand. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. We honor you and we worship you.